Hey, friends. If you have ever been curious about the tarot card deck and what magic it holds, or maybe you are not interested in tarot, but you are curious and interested in what it looks like to take your life and live outside of the box, this is a really beautiful interview with my dear friend, Jen Curtin, who, after she retired from being a superintendent in the education system, she decided to think outside the box, to live outside of the box, and to jump into the tarot deck. She shares her story. She shares her ability to not take seriously or personally what other people may think of her when she knew that her calling was working with the tarot. And she shares some beautiful insights around her journey, her before life with her corporate position. And then she also really talks about how she moved into that beautiful essence that she had carried with her whole life and finally took it to a professional level. So I'm excited. I hope you get some amazing nuggets like I did, and just enjoy. Welcome, everyone, to Lucy Smiles Living Room Podcast. I am so excited today to be sitting in the virtual living room with a beautiful soul friend of mine, Jen Curtin, who has not only been a huge impact in my life, but also many of my friends. And so welcome to the living room. I am your host, Diane Lozo. I have been blessed to finally sit and share conversations that I've been having with my friends over the last several decades, and just always wanted to have an opportunity for those outside of the conversation to really just have an opportunity to listen in, be impacted. And the intention of the living room is to really talk with souls who have found that magic that ignites their own inner essence. And in that, in conversation, my intention is that something in this conversation will help to ignite that essence within yourself, and hope that you will follow your own dharma, your own passion, and your own purpose through conversation. So Jan, I am so excited to have you on the show today.
Oh, I'm so excited also. Thank you so much for having me, Diane.
Oh, you're so welcome. And listen, your story, I mean, when I first met you several years ago, actually, through my brother, and your story is so beautiful and so also epic. So I know a little bit about your background, but I would love for you to even just start with how things unfolded for you. From you went from being a superintendent to one of the top, like superintendent principal, and you could correct me, of education for several years. And now you are working with super intensity around tarot reading and really working with the tarot deck. And I know back in the day when I was in my late teens, I was introduced to my first tarot deck. And I know there's something special about being gifted your first tarot deck. What is that? But I would love for you to just dive in. And how did you go from being where you were and explain the role that you were in to now what you're doing with such intensity, such wisdom, and just the impact that you've created? So the floor is yours, Jan.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. Yeah, it certainly has been a journey. I did start my career as a French immersion and Spanish teacher. So my students would address me as Madame Curtin or Señora Curtin, depending on which classes they were taking. And then I ended my career as superintendent in charge of 21 schools. And it was a tremendous career. But I think the bottom line about this is that my career was about service. And I feel, you know, my mission has always been about service. Now, when I was 33 years old, I was gifted a tarot card deck. And honestly, I had no idea what they were. No idea. But I took a really deep dive in and ended up doing a bunch of courses and starting to read. But in a very busy career, you can imagine I wouldn't be reading tarot cards at my superintendent desk, right?
or even having them on your desk. They wouldn't be by your pens and your notepad.
Keep those at home, yeah. So I did a training with Richard Knight, after retirement because I wanted to really pursue my passion. And I did a training with him. He's a fantastic tarot reader out of the UK. And I also trained as a life coach with Ali Campbell for transformational coaching. And he's in the UK as well. I think I really like that, you know, British accent.
Yeah.
So then I did about 125 readings for free, just referrals, because I really wanted to hone my skills over Zoom. And we were in lockdown. So this all worked. This all worked really well. And I included, I should throw in that I do have a bit of an Indigenous bloodline through my dad, who was Algonquin, French and Irish, and he had a lot of psychic ability. So as a kid, I would think it was normal for him to be talking to birds on the windowsill, and they'd be all lined up, you know, they were definitely communicating. And at night, he would have spirits sit on the bed. I guess my mom slept through this, but there would be spirits on the bed talking to my dad as they were transitioning to the other side. So I never got this gift, but my daughter did. So she started seeing spirits at a young age. She saw her grandfather when he passed on. He came to visit her and spoke to her in a very British accent and had the little suit on and the pocket handkerchief and the whole thing. And then I noticed when I was reading tarot that something would just take over. So my top chakra tends to just blast open and stuff comes through and I start just talking quite rapidly. And I realized, okay, that's what I got. I'm glad I didn't get the ghost piece, the spirit piece. I don't want to see people everywhere, right? So yeah. I'm quite happy with what I got. And I don't know, I just feel really, really blessed that I'm using this gift now and running a business that I totally enjoy. That's nothing but a joy for me.
Yeah. And that's interesting because I was going to ask you as well, you know, what in your childhood, because I know, you know, many times people's stories of being in, you know, that just, I don't want to say like the daily grind, but you're, you know, kind of like the normal life of the job and the career and the corporate ladder and all of those things. Yeah. Many times when I am in conversation with those who their gift just expands at a certain time in their life, there is typically, I don't want to generalize, but that little, yes, when I was a kid, I used to feel this, or I was felt connected, or something was different. So you did have that type of sense when you were a child of something inside of you that was bigger than maybe who you thought you were or what life really was.
You know, I always did. It's so interesting you would say that to me because I always did. And right. I feel like I'm just there now. But I know that throughout my career, you know, I have a highly developed sense of intuition and I use it. So it did help me in working with people and coaching people. And it really, you know, it was just a great instrument to use. And we all have it, right? It depends how open you are to knowing you have it and trusting it.
Right. And this really prompts the question because I am curious. I know that sometimes it can be really scary for people, you know, if we are, you know, and there every role is purposeful, right? So whether you're in a job, whether you are a teacher until you retire or whatever it is that we're doing, many times what I had noticed, and maybe you can shed light on this, Jan, is we can get a little scared or we could feel a little bit, oh gosh, how are people going to judge me if I go from, you know, this role into now I'm reading tarot or, you know, and I noticed that too in the realm that I am in, because I work with a lot of starseeds and I work with a lot of healers and I work with a lot of people who are in this industry, in this space. And it takes a little bit of courage to be able to say, I'm going to go from this role that everyone knows me as, this is how they know me, to, hey everyone, now look at what I'm doing. Now, can you shed some light for people who are in that space? Maybe they're watching and they're saying, how do I do this? How do I jump? How do I take that leap? And how do I, you know, have the courage to maybe be judged or
so what does that look like? Louise Hay, who wrote Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway.
Oh, yes.
Right? So fear, terror, oh my gosh, like absolutely. It's like take your identity, throw it out the window and put on a whole new outfit, right? It's critical because you are defined for so many years by what you do, and then you do something totally different. Mm-hmm. I would say that putting that website together and going out there publicly was one of the toughest things I ever did. But just listening to my gut, I knew this was the thing I must do. So, I mean, I'm over it. And people who just aren't too woo-woo to associate with anymore, well, that's their problem. But I find actually, surprisingly, people are just totally intrigued, you know, like even my, my former colleagues. So it's all good. It's all good. I think of the Fool card, you know, when the fool is stepping off the edge of the cliff and he has every confidence in the world that it's all going to work out. So it really just embrace the fool and know it's going to be good. Yeah.
It's interesting how you say it's all going to work out. So on my screenshot on my phone for months now, this is the longest standing screen that I have had. And it literally is, what if it all works out? And so because I'm on my phone often as a business owner and someone who works with social media. Yeah. And so I get to see that every single day. And I think that's a beautiful way to live because, again, everything is working out in our highest good. Sometimes it doesn't look so fabulous and sometimes it's questionable. But at the end of the day, I think there's something, you know, I say to people, you have choices. You have a choice to believe that everything is magical or the choice to not believe. And I feel that life is so much more joyful when you can come from a place of believing that there's something bigger than us. And I think that is, I think, the key. So maybe we could touch on that as well, too, because when you are working with the tarot deck, and I have worked with you, I've had sessions with you where I have come out and said that was something happened there.
Yeah.
And so that's obviously, you know, one of the biggest reasons why I'm like, I want to have a conversation with you so that I can share your gift, is that I have had experiences with you, and I will even share with you, I don't know if you remember this, but I will share this. So when you did my tarot deck and we were the first time, you had mentioned, and I'm sharing this with you because this is pretty epic, you had mentioned that my husband was not going to be working where he was when he's 58. And can I tell you, he retired at 58 and he didn't, and he said to me, you had a conversation with someone who did your cards and they said that I was not going to be working at 58. And he didn't plan to retire at 58, something completely happened that was almost out of his control, like, but very beautiful. And it's all so purposeful for him to move into where he's meant to be. But he came to me and said, who was that person? I said, I don't know who you're talking about. And I said, I didn't get my cards read. And I said, oh yes, of course I got my cards read. Cause it was more than just a card reading. So I didn't know what he was saying, but it was you that actually, you called it. And so I want to share you, it was quite tangible. Quite a measurement of, it works.
That's mind blowing. So that's because I'm pretty sure I did automatic writing for you. So yes. I do that also. So I will, even for people I've never met, I just get into their energy. I think about them. I ask if there are messages for them. I sit and meditate quietly. Then I just, you know, I have a pen in my hand and I wait until I'm nudged to start writing. And as I write, my right hand is moved by something. It's not coming from my brain whatsoever. And as I'm writing, I have that Woody Allen bubble going, are you out of your mind? Right? Okay. And I just am compelled to write it. And then I think, oh, this is going to make no sense to the person. What am I doing? I always have that going on, but I write it anyway. Then I type it up. Then in the course of, if it's a reading, first time reading for a person, I do multiple layers of stuff with them. Mm-hmm. This is one of the elements. So I will read it to them. And I have no idea where that came from. I just know it's meant for them. And it's often a very, very moving part of the reading. So that's so interesting. And I'm really happy to know that. Because, you know, sometimes I just let that go. I don't do the automatic writing, but that's a real nudge for me to get back to doing more of it. That's really interesting. And I want to also say, Diane, I keep finding these parallels between you and me. I have a strip on the dashboard of my car that if you read it directly, it's reading backwards. But when I place it on the dashboard and it hits the windshield, then the letters appear the right way. So when I'm driving, I see reflected. Things are always working out for me.
How beautiful. How beautiful is that?
So I have that going on all the time. Wow. And you talk about the magic in the world. All we have to do, if we ever doubt, is look at a flower.
Yeah. Oh, I'm telling you. And that is the truth. In Mexico, I take pictures of, and again, we see them everywhere, not just in Mexico. I've seen them in Canada, the US, wherever we've been. When you see a flower grow from cement in that little crack, and I can show you after, I'll send it to you on email. I was walking the other day and I put it on Facebook. That reminds me, like, I can do anything I need to do, right? Yeah. Because there's always that window of light, no matter what. No matter if you're in cement, no matter what it is. And one of the things that I do as, and I would love for you to share a couple of questions I have for you around how you tap into your gift. How do you quiet the noise? But one of the things, and I'll share that with you in a second, but I wanted to share that one of the things I've done as of late is I have a book and I have it, Evidence of Magic. And so I'll write a note, I'll write the date and I'll put, what is evidence that magic showed up in my life today? Mm-hmm. And because it is measurable. Mm-hmm. It is measurable. And so I wrote in it yesterday. I wrote in a couple of things yesterday that I thought, wow. And a lot of times for me, it has to do with connections, how some connection got me to another connection that got me to a passion that got me to connect someone with someone else. And so connection is everything. And so I want to go back to you around the connection that you have with your intuition, because when you're doing the writing for someone like you did for me, because we hadn't actually met before my first session. So you did that exercise and it was so impactful. Do you have something that you ground in so that you are quieting the noise? So when you are writing and it sounds just almost unreasonable, like, why is this, this can't be true what I'm writing. Like, is there something that you do for yourself in terms of grounding in your intuition to let anything come through that may just sound absolutely astounding?
Well, I've been meditating for over 20 years every day. So I just think it's automatic for me. If I just decide to go into that state, I just go in and I just jump in. Like the other day I was reading for someone, I run an Airbnb out of my walkout basement. So I have my cards down there, like my business cards. So people often ask me for a reading. So I was down there doing reading a few days ago for this lovely, lovely woman. Oh my goodness. And she says to me, "Oh, Jen, are you feeling tired?" I said, "Oh no, no." I said, "I've just gone into an altered state. Like I'm getting channels. It's all meant for you, and it's coming out the way it's coming out. And I might look like I'm out of it, but it's really clear, and it's all for you." So she goes, "Oh." Aww. But that one, you talk about magic. So I had her select an animal medicine card. And of course, when I'm in person with someone, I ask the person to choose the card. And she chose the fox, and she just could not believe the whole scenario, because she had trouble selling her house. She'd been in it for 3 years. And it was basically infested with foxes. And the name of the family that had sold the house to her were Mr. and Mrs. Fox. So it was just uncanny, the whole fox theme. And then we read the meaning of the fox and how it all worked for her. So this is where I know the magic is happening all the time. All the time.
Yeah.
It's so exciting. We're so lucky.
Yeah.
Be able to access this and share it with people and just, turn the key in the lock. It's amazing.
It's so interesting that you share that, because I will share a similar story that just happened in my backyard last week. We had a sound healing meditation. So I have this beautiful friend, Miguel Angel Chain, and he's on Spotify. He has this beautiful album. He's a Mexican young gentleman who's a friend of mine and does just epic sound healing with all of his different instruments. You have to come to Mexico. And so we had about 10, 12 people in my backyard, and I decided, I'm like, oh, I'm going to go get my spirit animal card deck. And at first because again, you get these callings and these channels. Do you listen? Do you try to manipulate it? And I was going to go, and I was going to give everyone a card on their mat. because I did that last time I did a retreat with my yoga instructor. I placed a card on people's mats, but this time they said, don't choose the card for people. This time, spread it open. Let them choose their own card. So I went, oh, I kind of had to, like, you know what I mean? Because I literally was going to do what I had done before. So I thought, oh, sorry. Okay. You know, course correct. And I spread the card open and every person would choose their own by me just spreading the cards and letting them choose. And this gentleman that had come, who was a business partner of a friend of mine, and she had said, I want to invite my business partner. He's still new to this. I want to, like, kind of introduce them slowly to this type of space. He ends up choosing his own card and it was the lion and he couldn't believe it. And I said, are you okay? He goes, you're not going to believe it. My last name is Lion. And he showed me a lion tattoo on the back of his leg. So he was so taken aback. The whole time I was looking at him, he's like, I don't know what to do with this. I can't. And it was so beautiful because it was evidence of magic, right? And it's such a beautiful thing to witness. And still to this day, I believe in magic. Yeah. Every day I'm still floored by the things that happen in my own life that just reset my energy, because we do still live in duality. We still do live in stress. I still wake up with anxiety. So it's not that magic trumps everything, but we need that belief because we still live in this 3D matrix, right? We still have stress and we have things that we have to deal with. And so having that kind of level of almost support that you can call magic, you can call it your guides, you can call it whatever you want to call it. I just think having that faith really does impact our mental state. And it's healthy.
It does. And I just want to share one reading, and again, one that really surprised me. So it was a couple years ago, and this fellow had lost his wife during COVID and couldn't hold the celebration, right? But wanted to wait. So he did schedule it. Now, I had no idea about this whatsoever. I just knew that I was reading for him on a Monday morning. That's all I knew. And I went ahead and I did the automatic writing channeling for him. And I really didn't know him well at all, except for I knew that his wife had passed. So as I started writing, she immediately came through, and it was just all her voice. And I was doing, you know, it was furious writing. I mean, I must have done 5 pages. So then he came on the call and we do a little pre-chat. How was your weekend, etc.? And he says, oh, we did the most beautiful celebration of life on Saturday, right, for his wife. And he was telling me all about it. And I was really startled. I said, well, you're not going to believe this, but she came through. Mm-hmm. And I'll read you what came through. Well, the poor guy, I mean, he's just bawling as I read this thing because it was so powerfully moving. And it was so much her voice. And she was speaking directly to him. So this, and then, of course, the reading. I mean, I was doing all, you know, the animal totem cards. I did, you know, a full spread of tarot. But he just got layers and layers of the same kind of message, which was get over it, live your life, travel. I want you to have fun, rejoice, embrace life again. So this was really what he needed. He needed to be told in a very firm way to get on with it. And he completely switched up his life. He did it. He just started doing all the things she said to do.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
That is, my goodness. And it just takes that message, right? And I think it's just so beautiful because it is an opportunity for us to be evolving, right? And so I love the work that you do. I think that there's so many different opportunities for people to tap into seeing life from a very different perspective. And I think that's where, you know, where your work really, it has impacted my life. And I have introduced you to friends of mine. And I know one specific friend, beautiful soul, who just raves so much about you. And so I'm really, you know, and she doesn't share all of the details because it's like, you know, but she's always texting me saying, I had a session with Jan. I had another session with Jan. I'm like, it's beautiful because it does allow us to kind of get out of our own way, right? Because our negative self-talk is loud no matter what, right? And I think that being able
for all of us. And, you know, with the coaching, now your friend, lovely, lovely person. She started by having, I think, two or three tarot readings, which is how most of my coaching clients come to me because, I mean, coaching just does occur automatically through the tarot reading. It's just the way I read. But when I focus exclusively on coaching, I still intersperse the tarot. I didn't initially. I was following the Ali Campbell model of these questions that tap the subconscious mind, and they're very profound. But then people would say, Jan, could we just do cards on the next session? So I thought, you know, I'm going to try something. So when someone gets a little stuck on a question and they say, I just don't know, then, you know, I'll say, well, I can sit and wait. Or, you know, now I just pull a card. And that card is always a catalyst for where we need to go. It's remarkable. So, I do get to know people in a very deep way, and they end up sharing so much more than they ever dreamed that they would. So I had a client, I've got a wonderful, wonderful woman in Cape Town, South Africa, who's been with me for a few months now. And it's like peeling the onion, you know, you just get to know them so much. And I asked her a question and she gave me a pat answer and I just felt there was more. So I pulled another card and she just, it was, I think it was judgment that I said, what is not fair? What have you become aware of? And she just went down this whole rabbit hole that opened up this huge can of worms that I never would have known about. And I said, you know, you never would have told me all that, would you? We wouldn't be exploring that, would you, without that card? She goes, no. So it works. It works really, really well. And with the coaching, because it's tapping the subconscious mind, people start to change without realizing it. There's no homework to do, but the subconscious mind does the work. So now when I've thrown in the tarot as well, I think it works even more effectively.
Yeah. Speaking of the subconscious mind, I want to go back to meditation. So you had mentioned at the beginning of this conversation, you've been meditating for over 20 years every day. You know, the impact and the power that meditation has on the subconscious mind and creation and really just also just getting out of the kind of the cobwebs. And I know that for myself because this podcast idea came to me through meditation. Like through, I was in Colombia with Dr. Joe Dispenza at his 7-day retreat, and we were doing a walking meditation, and every single aspect of my vision of what I meant to do, starting with this podcast, which I'm doing a podcast. I don't know, how do I even do it? But the why for me and the vision for me was so much bigger than the details of how to do it, right? You figure it out along the way. So meditation for me, in my own life, have seen the difference of things that come to us that almost can't come to us in those same ways than as what when we are meditating. So I would love to a couple of questions. How did you start meditating? What does that look like? Like, are you doing an hour a day? Did you start with 20 minutes a day? You know, for those that may struggle with meditation, if you have any insight on practical ways to just get started and maybe just share more about your experience and what that looks like and how it's impacted you personally.
Oh, that's such a great question. Such a key question actually to my life. So I was principal at a very busy high school, and I had undertaken a massive, massive project at the school. So, I mean, I just had signed up for big stuff and I was stressed and I was getting chest pains. It was the end of the year. I was just so stressed out. And I made up my mind because I had a month off in the summer or a month and a half. And I made up my mind that I would find a solution to this stress. So I went to my doctor. He goes, Jan, I should be so lucky to have your heart. So, you know, it was something else. So I was just scrolling, you know, going along the internet, and this thing came up, HoloSync with Bill Harris, the Center Point program. This is in the days when they shipped out the CDs to you. Okay? I signed up for the full program. It was a lot of money, but I just really, I was just told to do this. And it was a program that you'd sit there and all you'd hear is crystal bells and falling rain. And you would go into the very, very deepest state possible over that half hour. And then you'd spend the remaining half hour sitting there in like totally an altered state. So it was an hour a day. And I got up at 5 a.m. to do it because I, you know, I had to because I was at the school very early in the morning. Mm-hmm. And within 2 weeks of my doing that, I already shifted because I found it 2 weeks before I had to go back to the school. And when I went back, the first thing that my assistant said is, Jen, you must have had a very relaxing summer. I can't believe how chill you were. So I thought, wow. And then my kids noticed. They definitely saw a difference.
Right.
So it melds the left and right sides of the brain. And it's a very long-term program. I think it took me 6 years to get through the whole program of 1 hour a day. And they keep sending you different CDs. And your affirmations are embedded underneath. So that's, I mean, very, very old school, I'm sure, for now. But after I had done that, I felt so much more comfortable in myself. It's hard to define, but I was just like really easy in myself. I was so much less uptight and stressed. And from there, I would just go for whatever my intuition directed me to. And even now, I'm just being directed to different kinds of meditations and different means of going deeper and raising my vibration. Mm-hmm. So I will share that yesterday, I spent 3 hours in a blue lotus tea ceremony, activating the Kundalini energy in a beautiful yoga space. And I have, it's probably my 12th session, but my first time with the blue lotus tea that's supposed to work on the pineal gland and decalcify it and really, really open you up that way. So I feel like my intuition is being like blown out of the water through Kundalini experiences. And now, I mean, even after my first two or three sessions, when I would sit to meditate, I found that the Kundalini energy would just vibrate my whole body. You know, like I would get the quiver all the way up my spine.
Yeah.
In an involuntary manner. It's just showing me that I'm being more and more awakened. So this actually, you know, as we evolve and as we become kind of higher beings, we impact everyone around us. It's like Mother Teresa, when she was asked, what can I do to save the world? And she just said, go home and love your family. Okay. It's so simple. I think we underestimate the power of the smallest things, the power of how we live and living in love and optimism and knowing things are always working out and being more chill impacts everybody around us and bigger ripple than we know.
Absolutely. It's the residual impact of those small decisions. So can you go back to, I have two questions. I have so many questions, but I'm just like, I'm melting in your voice and your story. So, so can you go back to Kundalini and maybe give the audience a sense, because we hear of it, but we maybe not understand what it's doing and what that energy is and how we can operate from a higher level of consciousness through Kundalini. Can you share a little bit about your experience yesterday and how it's impacted you more practically speaking? Because I think it's worth a chat.
Absolutely, yes. Okay, so we all have so many blocks from childhood and from previous lives, things that we have brought in that maybe, you know, they're blocking us from being the best we can be. So with the Kundalini, it's an interesting thing. We all lie on a yoga mat. There are people who come in with various backgrounds of trauma or emotional difficulty or whatever. And as you surrender to the energy, Radia, who's the facilitator, she plays very loud music that is kind of Middle Eastern in nature, most of it. And you just kind of involuntarily start to react to it. Your body starts to react to it. So this is an unblocking and a freeing up of energy that just automatically happens when you surrender. And sometimes for people, it takes a few sessions before they really surrender to allow the flow to really happen. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, funny you should ask that question, because as I was sitting in the waiting area before the session started, there were a couple of ladies in there with me. So I asked them, what has your experience been? And we all had a similar experience because they had all done, you know, maybe 6-8 sessions. This was my 12th one.
Wow.
And that what happens is your life starts to just align, you know, things that you need show up. Synchronicity takes over. It becomes more effortless. Even when things happen that you're not crazy about, you have a different attitude towards it, which it affects everything, right? The way we receive things affects everything. So it's just positive blessings that start to flow into your life, and your life becomes easier. That's the simplest way that I could define it.
Who doesn't want that? Sign me up.
Yeah.
With the Kundalini yoga practice, are you doing something specific in that practice that activates energy?
Well, it's not yoga. It's just the Kundalini energy activation. Yeah. So you're just completely passive. You have nothing to surrender. So the room is darkened. You know, there's just like candles and you're lying on your yoga mat with a pillow under your head. And the facilitator comes along and she'll just touch a chakra point. Now, when she touches me, it feels like, I won't say a burning coal, but it's hot. Her touch is very hot. Yeah. And I often just jerk, like, because I'm so deep in my meditation lying there that it really jerks me. But then it fires up an activation of all the energy running through me as well. Wow. Right.
Yeah.
So it's a very intense experience. I would highly recommend it. I don't know how prevalent it is or how easy it is to find people who do it, but I just think that Radia is amazing. She's amazing. Mm-hmm. So she operates in Costa Rica.
Okay.
Other islands were mentioned, and she certainly in Mississauga and Toronto, that's where she is.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
I love that. So in terms of your practice and you are moving forward, what are some of the different, obviously, Kundalini? Are there any mentors outside of the two coaches that you'd mentioned or books or resources that you have found, not just that you were looking for, but I found in my own life, things just pop up where I'm like, I'm meant to read this. Is there any experiences that you have with books or other events or things that came on your lap or beside your lap that have really helped you along that path that would be beneficial to share as well, too?
Mm. Well, I would say that studying with Richard Knight and Ali Campbell were great catalysts for me. And in terms of having a mentor per se, you know, I really don't. I mean, I just find the more that I meditate, the more things come to me. I just feel like I'm channeling all the time what I'm meant to be doing. And that with the Kundalini, the synchronicity has really speeded up, like stuff just kind of shows up for me, you know, really, really special clients. I mean, like the people that I'm coaching are almost exclusively really high level CEO type women with enormous drive and capacity that I'm so privileged to work with. How do I attract them? I don't know. I mean, maybe because I was in that kind of role, but I just find it really, really interesting the way things work out.
Yeah. I've heard something before said many different ways, but is that we, you know, as we find our gift or as we choose to follow that life of purpose, we tend to like the people that we tend to support are the people are who we used to be. So it almost sounds like synergistic. We help those that used to be where we were. Right. And so it's, you may notice that it sounds like it's very similar in your own experience with your gift and sharing your talents and your offerings.
I guess so. Yeah. I want to go back to something you said about the flower pushing through the crack. And it just made me think about Leonard Cohen. There is a crack in everything. That's where the light gets in.
Oh, yes.
See that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that makes me think about the fact that I find, I would say too, as you share that, is being able to honor that there is darkness, being able to honor that, you know, things are not always supposed to be going like so well all of the time, because how else would we be growing without the contrast? Right. And so, I mean, even in my own life, sometimes people's like, oh my God, you have the best, you know, you're always happy and you have the best. I'm like, I'm joyful, but there is still opportunities for me to grow, opportunities for me to look and self-reflect, opportunities for me to take inventory on, like, every day we're growing. And so every day we are able to have an opportunity to take a look and see, like, where are parts of our skin being shed, right? So, like, for me, what used to work for me even 5 years ago, even 2 years ago, being able to say that no longer works for me, whether it's a career, whether it's a something that I was, like, super passionate about. And so do you have anything that you'd like to share, maybe even in your experience, where maybe you had a client, I'm just going to give you an example, where you're sharing something like, my husband, you're not going to be working, you know, where you were at 58, and him say, well, that doesn't make sense to me. I will be there till I'm 65, you know, but then he wasn't. And so have you ever found any surprises with your clients where you're sharing something with them where they maybe couldn't see that as being realistic and then came back and said, oh my gosh, bang on.
All the time, but it happens differently from what you're describing. So when I'm doing a reading, and I've been doing more in person, which is really tremendous fun, just sitting there with the cards, and let's say it's a 15 card spread, everybody wants more clarity. They want a better understanding of what's going on. They want clear sense of direction. They want to know what's coming up. And so if that's not coming up with the particular card, but we feel that we're, you know, we need more, then I just continue to draw cards. Or if it's in person, the client does. Now, when this happens, the clarity is really startling, okay? So I'll pull one card, maybe two, and then the client is just like, oh, you know, now I see. So it's all about getting the clarity on whatever we are dealing with. And that's my objective with every reading is that, okay, you know, maybe that, yeah, that sounds about right. But, you know, they're not like really excited. So I want more. I always want more. I want it like the nail, get the hammer and the nail, just get it. And it just invariably happens. So that I think is my greatest satisfaction, that really thrills me when I just see people that maybe come in, whether it's on Zoom or in person, and they're a bit flat, you know, like they just need a lift. They're not happy with certain elements of their life. They're feeling a little bit beaten down. And the cards do that because the clarity comes through and it's so clear and they know what to do and they're inspired to do it by the end. Yeah.
It's almost like a permission, if you will. You know, like I feel like even whenever I'm looking for clarity and you know, whenever I said I wanted to get another session several months back after having it 2 years ago with you, is that clarity? Because again, I'm a different person. I'm not the same person that had the session while I was actually living in Canada, now living in Mexico and looking for that clarity. And so I think it's just that, I mean, we all have our own, we can permit our own selves to make changes in our life. But I think that there's a value there of seeing something in a different perspective that gives us that permission. Like, yes, you can evolve. It's okay for you to grow. It's okay for you to shed skin. Yeah. And so Mike, I have a question for you going back to the beginning of your career, shifting from principal to tarot. I ask this question to honor the audience who may be scared that I'm not good enough. Maybe I'm not as good as, you know, there's always that imposter syndrome or so many other people are doing it better than I could ever do it, that whole comparison game. So for the sake of the audience who are listening, maybe someone's just kind of itching to grow and itching to really break the mold in their own life. Were you afraid when you started? Not just from the, what are people going to think of me, but can I actually do this? And can you share if you had insecurity and how you said, you know, like Louise Hay, you know, feel the fear and do it anyway. Can you share, you know, what helped you or did you feel afraid and you just kept on doing it? Because I feel like maybe practice and progression really helps to ease into more confidence when you're changing lanes like this.
I wasn't afraid. I was fearful about putting the website out. That's the only thing. But about actually doing it, because as soon as I start, something takes over.
Right.
As soon as I start, I feel the channeling. and I'm going with my intuition, and I surrender to the cards, and I surrender to the deeper messages of the cards. And you know, the cards, all they have so many different meanings depending on placement, depending on, you know, what you're picking up, the energy you're picking up from the client. So I think, you know, we have to live in a different part of ourselves when we're doing this kind of work. It's not logical, mathematical, right?
Absolutely. And I love that you use the word surrender. I think that's such an important role for us to bring into our life, is that that role of just surrendering. And I think there's so much magic to be found in surrender. Wow. And I still, even when I think about surrender, I still think about this pink flower in the cement, like just surrender to, I'm going to find the light, and it did it ever. And so I think it's a beautiful thing. So yeah. Jan, this is not going to be our first interview. I would love to have you on again. I just think you're so beautiful, and your gift has touched me and many friends of mine. I wanted to ask you, just in terms of, you know, where can we find you? Do you have anything happening that's coming up? You know, where's the best place to find your work? I know obviously you have a website, you've mentioned it. Are you on social media? You know, do people want to email you to get a session? Share what that could look like for people who maybe they're just like, what is this even? You know, what's the best way to get started with you?
Well, I know that I should be all over social media. I'm sure it's got something to do with my generation, but I'm not that comfortable with it. So yeah, I do have my website, mprutarot.com, and it's the letters M-P-R-U, because my company is Empower You, right?
I love it.
mprutarot.com, and you can email me from there. And I have various different kinds of readings. You can even phone me, like my phone number is there. But I have so many different kinds of spreads that I do, and different kinds of readings that I do, depending on what people are looking for. And often, like I said, people come to the coaching from the tarot. So they usually start with the tarot readings and then move to coaching with me and just stay with me for months and months and months. And it's fabulous.
Which I am very familiar with. So in closing, I always like to ask a question. It's always a little bit different for everyone. And I just kind of sense, you know, what kind of a question we can close out with. So I would love to ask you, because of, you know, where you came from and now where you are right now. And I know we touched on it a couple of times of, you know, like feel the fear and do it anyway. But is there something, if you were to be talking to someone in the audience right now, that's just like, what do I do? Like, do you have, you know, wisdom or any type of just action or insight for someone who is really afraid to make that step to go from that logistical, you know, that logic brain into the whimsical magic brain, whatever that looks like? Doesn't have to be going from being a principal and superintendent in education to tarot reading, but whatever that looks like, there are people out there, and I know that are just afraid to make that step. Do you have any word of wisdom, or do you want to pull a tarot deck card, or, you know, what that can help them that are sitting right here, right now, and they need to make that move? And it's really important to create impact globally because of their soul.
Right. Well, you know, we tend to be fearful beings. I mean, we're always thinking about the worst. Well, think about what's the worst that could happen. And it's not going to be as bad as you think. And then if there are like heavy boulders that you have to move in order to get this done, just make yourself a little chart, you know, on a piece of paper, like put a line down the middle of the page and a line across the top, and put what I will do and what the universe will do. Okay. And then think about your objective and write down what needs to be done for me to achieve this, and what's relatively easy for me to do, and write all those things down. And then the things that are causing you fear that you just can't get past, the things that are blocking you, write those under what the universe will do. And then just feel your shoulders come down, because you know the universe will step up. You just do your bit and then assign the rest to the universe, and it'll get looked after.
I feel like that question, I feel like crying right now. That question was for me. I'm going to be selfish. No, I meant it for the audience, and I forgot that you shared that with me in our last session. And I said that I shared that with so many people. Oh my gosh, Jan, my tarot reader mentioned me. It makes so much sense. And I actually used it, and there is something happening for me in my own journey in this very moment. And I absolutely forgot. And I'm absolutely going to take that as soon as we're done.
Wonderful.
That is what I need to do. And so I'm going to be selfish and say that it was, I needed to hear that today. I needed to hear that from you. And
that's you. Surrender, isn't it? I mean, partly, okay, I'm doing this, but I surrender the rest. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we don't have to be super beings. We don't have to do it all. You know, yeah. There's so much magic in the universe to do it for us and mm-hmm. help us. Just ask.
Yeah. That's so beautiful. And I think the power of is knowing that we are able to receive, because when we receive, we have more to give. And there is that energy and flow. And, you know, much of the time we are thought, you know, from our old programs is that we have to do everything on our own, right? But we don't, because there are people that want to give to us that we get to honor their gift. So if I'm looking for clarity, I could try figuring it out for myself. But if I can actually work with you instead, not only do I get clarity from a different, more fresh perspective, I'm also able to honor the gift that you have to offer. And so there is such an energy flow of receiving and giving that I think is really powerful for us, especially now. And one thing I want to touch on before we close is I follow Lee Harris. I don't know if you follow Lee Harris, but he mentioned something on one of his, like his May update. And he said exactly what you had said earlier in our conversation is there's so much happening in this world. Sometimes it can get daunting. Sometimes we can say, like, for me, I'm like, how do I rescue all of the dogs all over the world? I can get very overwhelmed. But it's one at a time. It's one puppy. It's one bag of dog food, you know. And so one of the things that Lee says that you had actually said as well is pay attention to your address. Pay attention to your home. Mm-hmm. That is where we can create the impact. And you mentioned that so eloquently earlier. And I think that's something I would love to close out as well, mm-hmm. is that when we get overwhelmed with what's going on in the world and all of the darkness that could be happening, you know, that could make us feel sad and overwhelmed and almost defeated, is that what can we do right now at home with our loved ones and also with our self-love? And how could we just turn that into our own self? That's going to be the impact that we need to be able to shed our light on others. So
absolutely. Just live in gratitude and love and know you're making a difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Awesome. I'm so grateful for our beautiful chat today. And absolutely, my darling friends that are watching this, I highly recommend from my own personal experience to go on Jan's website. Can you repeat it again? And I will have it in the show notes. I will have it in my email description. But if for the sake of just one more time.
Yes, it's the letters mprutarot.com.
I love it. Thank you, Jan.
Gifted interviewer. It just flowed like a lovely conversation, like sitting in your living room.
And I would love for you to come to Mexico and we'll do a little kundalini here in my backyard. How do you?
Oh, me gustaría mucho.
Would love it. Thank you, Jan. You are so beautiful and so special. I'm so honored to have your time today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Hey friends, thank you again for following and tuning in to the Lucy Smiles Living Room podcast. It really does truly support my mission to help inspire you through our beautiful guests that I also want to thank who have come on to share their beautiful stories of transformation. If you want to connect with me privately, you can actually go right to my website, lucysmiles.com. Feel free to send to me a personal email. You can also catch my newsletter by subscribing, which also includes my weekly intuitive messages. If you're on social media, you can follow me with my handle, I am Lucy Smiles. And if this was inspiring to you and something helped support you on whatever the journey is that you are going through, please feel free to review, write a comment, and most importantly, if you can subscribe and share this episode and all our other episodes, that would be amazing. My dream and my mission is to truly help you to follow the magic that ignites your inner essence. And so until next time, we will catch you soon. I hope to catch you on the next episode.